It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eating Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eating Podcast. So nice that we do it twice. And of course, hey, if those guys are going to be doing 2-a-days, although they don't really do 2-a-days anymore, but if they're going to be in training camp, we're going to have 2 shows for you a week. And when I say we, I'm talking about the best fantasy football analyst in the galaxy. His name is Evan Silva. He is from rotoworld.com. That's just churning out the blurbs right now, which is amazing. At Evan Silva on Twitter. I am a former NFL offensive lineman that loves playing fantasy football, loves playing fantasy football, quite frankly, against you guys. It makes it fun. Some of these best ball drafts we've been doing. You can get at me on Twitter and Instagram, at Ross Tucker NFL, or you can like my Facebook page, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. It helps tremendously when you give us the retweets on Twitter and the likes on Facebook. If you want to always know exactly when the show's been posted on your apps or whatever, make sure you're following the podcast handle at RTF Podcast for all of our shows. Starting next week, I will begin announcing winners that will be going against Evan and I in the season-long league. That's your traditional league, 16 dudes. It is intense. It's the best of the best. Setting your lineups every week. It's awesome. But I do have one more MFL 10. One more contestant for the best ball draft. And that is Chris Gross, who took advantage of the Lightstream debt consolidation. I've got some good emails, by the way, from you guys about that. That's been a really good thing for you guys, the debt consolidation at Lightstream. We have all that stuff always, by the way. Anytime you hear me talk about a company, you got it over at rostucker.com on the sponsor page. So if you ever forget, make sure you go. You can just click the link over there, or you can see what the code is for the special discount or whatever the case may be. So that way you know what the deal is over at rostucker.com on the sponsor page. Like, for example, Mint Mobile. Finally, there's a company out there that's not charging you an arm and a leg. What Big Wireless doesn't want you to know is that there's a way to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month. It's called Mint Mobile. It's the game-changing company that's taken everything wrong with Big Wireless. They've made it right. So you just use your own phone. Like whatever phone you're already using, you just use it. It's a SIM card. You pop in the Mint Mobile SIM card, and it's $15 a month. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. So your concern is, I don't know, Ross, will it work? Evan, will it work? Well, just try it. Do it. 7-day money-back guarantee. Pop it in. Try the service around wherever you live for 7 days. See how it is. And then from there, it's all good. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month plus free shipping on your Mint Mobile SIM card, go to mintmobile.com/feast. That's mintmobile.com/feast. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month and get free shipping on your Mint Mobile SIM card at mintmobile.com/feast. Pretty awesome. Almost as awesome, Evan, as us getting closer and closer to the often imitated, never duplicated tears of Evan. It was also awesome to talk to Matthew Berry in yesterday's episode, if anybody missed that. And it's so good to get a chance to talk to one of the more interesting running back situations in the NFL. It's what Green Bay's got going on with not only Ty Montgomery, but the two guys we had a chance to catch up with recently, Evan, at the NFFC, Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. Next meal.
Next meal.
3, 2, 1.
We'll pass it. Old school style.
Hey, we got some experience at this.
Oh, my goodness. So
this ain't our first rodeo.
I didn't even introduce him yet. And we've got the running back tandem for the Green Bay Packers, Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones going back and forth. So you guys have done this before?
Yeah. Yeah, we do this before. Talking on the same mic before. We do this. We know how to do it.
I like it. I like it. So for those of you that are listening, which is everybody because you can't see this, we only have one mic for two guests. So they're passing it back and forth. Kind of like you guys do on the field. You know, and it's funny, I did six-year games last year as a broadcaster, and I got to be honest with you, there were games where I was like, man, Aaron Jones is really good. I think Aaron Jones is better than Jamal. And then, like, two games later, I'd be like, I don't know, Jamal's pretty good, too. I mean, you guys went back and forth. Is that kind of how you felt like it went, too, Aaron?
Yes, sir. I definitely think it went like that, and we complement each other well. So if he's having a great day, I'm happy for him. I'm in his back pocket. I'm with him the whole way. If I'm having a good day, he's the same way, and we're each other's biggest fans.
Plus, Jamal, when it really comes down to it, what you really want to do is just make sure your yards per carry are high and that you stay healthy for two more years.
Man.
You know, it's okay if you share carries. Just make sure you stay healthy till you're a free agent and everybody knows what you can do.
Yeah, honestly, it's just great to have running backs here with me, you know, Aaron and Ty. But it's really just a great, positive, competitive group, you know what I'm saying? So every time we see somebody doing well, it's just, it gets you ready to go out there and do it. And you know your brothers is going to want the best for you. There's no type of negative blood in there at all. It's just, we just want to do what's best for the team, and we know that the running back group can do it.
What are the expectations for this year, guys, in terms of the carries, the touches? I mean, do they kind of alternate series early and then see who has the hot hand and play him later? How do the Packers think you envision them doing it this year?
I have no clue, but we know we'll all be touching the ball. Some point throughout the game, we'll be touching it pretty often. So I'm excited to see how that works. We all bring something different to the table and complement each other well.
Is it tough, Jamal, when you guys, like in college, you guys were both the dudes? I mean, you know, I've seen your numbers from college off the charts. Is it a little difficult when you think, I might only get 5-7 touches? Like, it's not like college where I know I'm going to get close to 20. Do you feel almost like more pressure to try to break something big in your limited touches?
Not really. I just really just want to, even when you have few touches, you still want to just play your game and how you play. But really just reminds me of more like high school, how high school was. You really only got probably 8 carries anyway. You got to make do with those 8 carries and show people what you got. So it's really none to us. I feel like we could just adapt to it. Running backs, well, especially me, Aaron, and Ty, and all the running backs, I feel like we just very adaptive, and we could just go into any situation, no matter if it's fewer carries or more carries. We know that we're going to go out there and do our best.
How cool is it to be a Packer? So I played for 5 teams, including the Cowboys, but never the Packers. They're like the Cowboys. They're a national brand. Did you guys know before you were drafted that you would get this much love from Packers fans?
No, because I didn't know I'd be a Packer before the draft.
All right, fair enough. So after you got drafted, did you know that you'd get this much love from Packers fans?
I know they had a great fan base, so I knew it was part to come with it. So, I mean, I expected it, but not to this degree.
So what was it like, Jamal, your first time you're walking out like Lambeau Field, dude? Like Lambeau Field.
Shoot, are we talking during the game or when we just walked when we was rookies?
Both.
So I think when we was rookies, they just brought all the rookies to the stadium, there was nobody in there. I was like, this is a pretty cool place to be, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about the Packers, and I just knew Lambeau Field and jumping in the end zone and stuff, but it's a lot of history that goes into it. They made sure that we know about the history about the Packers. They took us to the museums and stuff, and they really take pride into the frozen tundra about being cold. So,
have you guys gotten has it been all love from fantasy football fans so far, or have you gotten anybody saying, hey, Aaron, I needed you this week, man. You let me down.
I've seen a lot of that. You see some people tweet you 1 week when they're up high on you, and then the next week you have a bad game and they're talking trash to you. So, I mean, that's a part that comes with the game, but, I mean, it keeps it fun.
I still don't understand, because people really be talking to me like I like like I know, like yes. they drafted me personally. They yeah. interviewed me. They was like, you know what? We're going to take a chance on this kid and draft him. But
go ahead. Finish. Come on.
It's just funny because, you know, they be like, like how Aaron said, 1 week they be like, you got me so many points, man. I'm proud of you. Appreciate it. And the next week you got players asking how many carries you going to get the next game. And Clay asked me things because, you know, he played fantasy football.
So Clay asked you?
Oh, yeah. He asked me. He be asking.
So
like,
Clay Matthews plays fantasy football, and he asked you guys how many carries and stuff you're going to get.
Yeah, does it, he like, should I play you? I was like, I don't know. Yeah, House and all.
Devon House as well.
They're really into fantasy football?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. So when I was in Buffalo, we had a tight end, Mark Campbell. He didn't catch that many passes, so his best friend dropped him from his fantasy team.
Oh.
That next week, three touchdowns. And so after the game, we were all laughing.
Hey, that's what happens when your friends do you dirty like that.
I know. You got to stick with them. There's no question. Well, hey, enjoy the season. Stay healthy. Really appreciate you guys stopping by the show.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
That was fun, Evan. It's fun to get a chance to talk to, you know, young guys, running backs like that. Ask them about, you know, fantasy football, how often they hear about it. Try to get something out of them in terms of their usage this year and what they're expecting. But, you know, it's kind of tough from active players for them to give you a whole lot. But it was still good to talk with him. Let's get your expert opinion based on right now what you think is going to happen with that backfield. I remember, I think I did 5 Packers games last year, Evan. And I thought Aaron Jones, I remember thinking Aaron Jones was considerably better than Jamal Williams. But then, like, towards the end of the year, I wasn't quite as sure about that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, they're such different players. Aaron Jones is super explosive. I mean, 5.5 yards per carry as a rookie. But he's your typical kind of really explosive, high upside running back who has a lot to work on. He has to show improved reliability on and off the field. We know that he's dealing with the weeks 1 and 2 suspension. We won't see him until week 3. He's going to have to improve his pass protection. He was not good in pass protection as a rookie, and he got injured twice, both with the same injury. It was a recurring MCL, and, you know, I don't necessarily like to hold injuries against guys, but when you put it in, you know, when you zoom out and look at the situation, he hasn't shown a lot of reliability. He has shown explosiveness and upside, and I loved him coming out of college, but Jamal Williams has been almost the exact opposite, because he was a guy who averaged 3.6 yards per carry. However, his success rate in terms of just getting the yards that were needed as a rookie, one of the better running backs in the league, top 15 in Football Outsider success rate, 0 fumbles, really good in pass protection, you know, over the back half of the season, averaged over 20 touches per game. He was actually the RB8 overall in fantasy from week 9 onward. And then we have Ty Montgomery as the wild card. You know, I thought that early in the offseason, Ty Montgomery might be moved to wide receiver. A lot of the beat writers spoke of that. Mike McCarthy even spoke of that. But I think that when the Packers kind of learned that Aaron Jones was going to be facing that suspension, they decided to keep Ty Montgomery at RB. And it's a very difficult situation to flesh out. My concern is that none of them end up helping us in fantasy, because none of them get a big workload. But, you know, at the same time, like, there's definitely a place in the draft that I'm willing to take Jamal Williams, usually 8th, 9th round. Aaron Jones, 11th, 12th round. Ty Montgomery, 12th, 13th round. You know, we know that they're going to be playing in a good offense, in an offense that's going to score a lot of points. And it's just kind of taking shots on guys, similar to the situation last year with the Patriots, taking that 10th round flyer on Rex Burkhead, which paid off more often than not, taking that 12th round flyer on Deion Lewis. And, you know, he was a league winner at the end of the season. It's going to be, I'll say this, it's going to be one of the camp battles that I'm monitoring most closely this summer.
What about, Evan, the tight end position? You know, here we are. We usually record both shows on a Wednesday. We did one on Wednesday this week, one on Thursday, which is when we always drop them, one Wednesday, one Thursday. We are a day into training camp, and yep. You know, you're already seeing favorable reports about Jimmy Graham. How high are you willing to take? How much are you buying the Jimmy Graham hype?
Yeah, see, I really like Jimmy Graham. And Jimmy Graham kind of ties into the running back situation for the Packers. I mean, this is a guy who scored 7 touchdowns from the 4-yard line or in last year, 8 touchdowns from the 6-yard line or in, led the NFL in red zone targets and targets inside the 10-yard line. He's 6'7". Can he run as fast as he used to? No. But he is an incredible force in the red zone. And the last time we saw Aaron Rodgers healthy in 2016, the Packers passed inside the red zone at the 3rd highest rate in the NFL, passed on 67% of their red zone plays. You can go back and listen to our show with Jason Moore of the FF Ballers. One of my bold predictions, it was a bold prediction show. One of my bold predictions was that Jimmy Graham would lead the NFL in receiving touchdowns this year. I'm very bullish on Jimmy Graham. I've been drafting a lot of best ball so far. Jimmy Graham and Delanie Walker are my 2 highest owned tight ends. You can usually get Jimmy Graham in the 6th round and Delanie Walker in the 7th round. I just love the touchdown upside and on Jimmy Graham, and touchdowns make the tight end position go. None of them, you know, it's very rare to have a tight end who's going to have big catch and yardage totals. Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce are kind of in a league of their own from that standpoint. Even Zach Ertz can't touch those guys. But the, you know, after that, you're just looking for guys who are going to score a lot of touchdowns. And I think that Jimmy Graham is near the top of that list in terms of touchdown ceiling.
What about, Evan, the wide receiver position now that Jordy Nelson is no longer in Green Bay? Who do you see as the primary beneficiaries of that?
Well, Devontae Adams over the last 2 years has led the NFL in red zone targets and touchdown receptions. I don't think that people realize how productive Devontae Adams has been. The Packers certainly do. They gave him a big extension toward the end of last season, which now looks like a bargain, you know, with everybody getting raises, with Sammy Watkins being paid like a top 4 wide receiver in the NFL. Packers have always been kind of smart about doing their extensions, and they did one with Devontae Adams toward the end of last season. For me, he's my wide receiver 7. I have him ahead of Mike Evans, ahead of A.J. Green, ahead of Doug Baldwin. The questions are really further down the depth chart. I think Randall Cobb is kind of locked into the number 2 role. And if you just isolate his splits with and without Aaron Rodgers last year, I mean, he was on almost a 90 catch, you know, 950 yard, 6 or 7 touchdown pace in the 5 full games played with Aaron Rodgers. Total dud when Brett Hundley was in there, understandably. But right now, you know, as an eighth or ninth round pick, absolutely Randall Cobb is a guy I'm willing to take a shot on. The beat writers in Green Bay think that Geronimo Allison is the favorite for the number 3 receiver role. Geronimo Allison, a guy who is, you know, not lit the world on fire, but man, he's going to get favorable coverage matchups. He's never going to fit, you know, he's always going to face a weaker cornerback, you know, in single coverage. And he's going to have a lot of favorable matchups if he does win that role. His primary competition, Trevor Davis, who's been more of a returner for the Packers, D'Angelo Yancey, a guy who they drafted last year out of Purdue, had some vertical skills but couldn't get on the field, was on the practice squad for most of the year. And then the 3 rookies that they selected, Jamon Moore out of Missouri in the 4th round, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, in the 6th round, and Equanimeous St. Brown out of Notre Dame, very talented guy, but kind of an enigmatic prospect later in the 6th round. It's again, you know, it's hard to make concrete predictions about this, and it's just going to be a situation where we're going to be watching these preseason games closely.
Well, we talked about receivers. Speaking of receivers, I had a chance at the NFFC as well to catch up with Christian Kirk. And I actually called Evan. his first game ever as a true freshman at Texas A&M, and he was by far the most explosive guy on the field. It was in Houston against Arizona State. I was extremely impressed. Now he's a second-round pick of the Arizona Cardinals, and I got a chance to catch up to him about what he thinks his role will be this year out in the desert. Joined now by the newest wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, Christian Kirk. It's funny, Christian, because I have a college draft podcast as well.
Yeah.
And I've been talking about you since the first game of your true freshman year.
Yeah.
It was in Houston, and I was ready. I was expecting big things from Speedy. Everybody was talking to me about Speedy, and you totally took over. I mean, dude, first game true freshman.
Yeah.
What, did you expect it to be that easy?
I didn't, to be honest. There was a lot of nerves, especially playing against my hometown team in ASU, and it being my first collegiate football game. And I was honestly just going out there and expecting just to make a couple plays and hopefully contribute to a win. And one thing came to a next, and whenever, you know, I get the ball in my hands, it's just natural for me to make something happen.
You were electric in that game, and I've been talking about you ever since. Speaking of your hometown team.
Yeah.
Now you're at the Arizona Cardinals. What's that been like so far?
It's been surreal just to be able to come back and you know, move back home, be with my family and all my friends.
Are you living
and,
home with your parents?
No. Okay. No.
I wouldn't hate on that.
Yeah, I was for a little bit just until I could find a spot. But still, just being back around my family, back in the community. Like I said, I'm born and raised there, and you know, going away to Texas A&M for 3 years, and then. Obviously, in the draft, I was expecting to go somewhere else, and then when I got that phone call to come back home, it was just crazy.
So what was it like? Had you ever met Larry before?
Yeah.
So you'd already met him?
Yeah.
Had you ever worked with him?
Yep.
So when you were in college, you already did some stuff with Larry?
Yeah, I had known Larry since I was a little kid, and, you know, we would just kind of run into each other here and there, you know, obviously, you know, being around the valley and just being connected through other people, and then I started talking to him a lot my last couple of years at A&M, and you know, he would, you know, send me texts here and there, and we text or whatnot. But you know, now that he's my teammate, it's crazy.
What have you learned from him so far? I know the season hasn't even started yet,
right.
But what have you learned just watching how he goes about his business in the off season?
Yeah, it's just you know, learning how to be a pro, learning how to handle yourself on and off the field, just his approach, and you know, just how he attacks things. And obviously, there's so much to learn, you know, on the field, but just seeing how he is, you know, as a man, as a businessman, and like I said, so much of the stuff that he does off the field, I've seen how much he's done for the community, you know, me being a kid growing up in the valley. So just learning from him and, you know, trying to take everything in.
I know you haven't gotten to the season yet, but just based on OTAs and minicamp, what's been the biggest surprise to you about the NFL, or what's the biggest difference you've seen so far between the NFL and the SEC?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest difference, nothing physical, nothing, you know, about the speed of the game or whatnot. I think it's all just mental. Guys are just smarter. You know, they take pride in knowing what they're supposed to do and, you know, identifying, you know, what the opponent is doing and, you know, coverage recognition and even by formation and whatnot. So guys are just smarter. They're more instinctual and, you know, they're you know, not second guessing. So I think that's the biggest thing for me.
Sam Bradford throws a pretty good ball, doesn't he?
Really good ball. Throws a really good ball.
I mean, it's unbelievable how accurate he is.
Yeah. No, he's special, and it's just, you know, it's really cool to be able to work with a guy like that who's been around and a veteran guy.
Because you had to deal with a bunch of quarterbacks at A&M.
Six.
What was the deal with all those guys transferring out, like Kyle and the kid at Oklahoma now, the baseball player?
Kyle.
Why do you think that, why didn't they left?
You know, there was just, you know, different opportunities that, you know, were kind of coming and going, and you know, they just did what they felt was best for them, and those
wasn't
guys,
what was best for Christian Kirk.
Sometimes, you know, you got to do what's best for you. You know, it's a team sport, but you always have to have, you know, your best interests at heart, and those guys are all, you know, really good friends of mine, and you know, I supported them whatever they wanted to do, and they've all been successful.
What do you think of Rosen so far?
Really good. He's been a good friend of mine since high school, and you know, I think he should have been the top quarterback in the draft. I mean, he just, everything that he does, from his arm talent to, you know, what he has up top, I think he's going to be able to be successful for a long time.
How do you expect them to use you this year, Christian?
I think all over the place. You know, I'm playing a lot more outside now, and, you know, being able to work out there and get comfortable out there, and then obviously working in the slot, you know, I'm already comfortable in there, so just working in and out, and then, you know, being able to have that special teams aspect. So, you know, we'll kind of see more in training camp, you know, hopefully being able to develop into that number two receiver spot and be able to do that.
I feel like, you know, the value for you guys is that a lot of teams have one nickel corner, right, that they use. I mean, if he's a smaller, quicker guy, Larry's too big for him.
Yep.
If he's a bigger guy, you're too fast for him. I mean, talk a little bit, if you can, Christian, about the value in having different body type skill sets that can each play inside like you and Larry.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the NFL is now. It's matchups. It's matchups on personnel and, you know, being able to create those mismatches. And so for us to be able to complement each other like that, like you said, you have size and you have speed, and just to be able to going into a game plan and knowing, you know, what we're going to get if we get into each formation and the type of guys we're going to go against, I think that just works into our advantage even more.
Were you a Cardinals fan growing up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or are you just saying that because you have to now?
No, I was. I was.
Hey, thanks so much, man. Stay healthy. Have a great career.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you.
So, Evan, I know that it's been ugly recently for rookie wide receivers. What are you telling people? What are you thinking as it relates to Christian Kirk's opportunity out there in Arizona with Fitzgerald and with that quarterback situation?
He's got very good opportunity. They have a lot. They have a mishmash of guys on the outside right now. Bryce Butler, 2-year, $3 million contract. You know, I've always kind of liked Bryce Butler as a vertical threat. Seems like coaching staffs have never really liked Bryce Butler because they've never committed to using him very much. And there's probably something there that they know that we don't. J.J. Nelson, super small. I mean, came out of UAB weighing like 150 pounds. He certainly can run, but that's pretty much all he can do. And he's been inefficient in the pros. And then Larry Fitzgerald, who's been awesome, obviously, first ballot Hall of Famer, 3 straight seasons of over 100 catches. But he is going to be 34. And I think the general sentiment is that he's likely to retire after this year, although, you know, people have been kind of saying that for years. But I thought that, you know, my first instinct when the Cardinals took Christian Kirk was that they saw him as the eventual replacement for Larry Fitzgerald. I'm not sure that's necessarily the case anymore. I think he's going to get on the field, you know, and I'm not sure in what capacity. I'm not sure that he is a true outside receiver. And Larry Fitzgerald is stationed in the slot. I think that Christian Kirk's future is as a slot receiver, kind of cross between Cooper Kupp and Nelson Aguilar. Ran 4.45 coming out of Texas A&M, caught everything, hyper productive at Texas A&M. In terms of rookie production, you know, I'm not sure that his ceiling is real, real big or real, real high, but I think that he will end up being one of the more productive rookies just based on opportunity, because they don't have a whole lot there. And then long term, I think his upside is really, really strong. Again, in that Cooper Kupp, Nelson Aguilar spectrum. And, you know, when Larry Fitzgerald retires, I think that he's going to be – he should end up being a very productive slot receiver. And this should give him a chance to grow with Josh Rosen, kind of like Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp, I think, grew together in their first season. You saw it in the preseason even with Cooper Kupp and Jared Goff. I think that we might see a little bit of that with Josh Rosen and Christian Kirk this preseason.
We also talked last week, I think, about Ricky Seals-Jones after he had his off-the-field issue. So we talked about the tight end position a little bit there in Arizona. I guess my question at running back, Evan, is if there's any place in deeper drafts in your mind for Chase Edmonds, the 4th-round pick for the Arizona Cardinals out of Fordham. Obviously, they have David Johnson. Chase actually grew up, Evan, like less than 5 minutes from my house here and had an unbelievable college career. I mean, his last year, I think he got hurt, was actually his worst. But he was like first-team All-American, I think, as a freshman. It was crazy.
Yeah, leads the Patriot League in all-time yards from scrimmage. I remember Josh Norris, you know, our resident draft analyst who we've had on the show a bunch of times, talking about Chase Edmonds, loves him, compared him even to Matt Forte. I thought he reminded me a little of Devontae Freeman. I love Chase Edmonds. I actually didn't have many draft picks in one of my dynasty rookie drafts because I had traded them all away for veterans, traded back into the draft to go get Chase Edmonds in the third or fourth round, was very happy with it. I doubt he's going to be a redraft factor, of course, barring an injury to David Johnson. But, you know, David Johnson's in a contract year, and, I mean, I would bet on the Cardinals locking him up. But, you know, things can go wrong there. Players can get hurt. That's running back is one of the most injury-propense positions in all of sports, maybe the single most injury-propense positions in all of sports. And that can lead to opportunities. And the Cardinals have pretty much already given Chase Edmonds that number two running back position over T.J. Logan, over DJ Foster, and I have like a little bit of excitement about him. You know, I'm a little bit biased because I really liked him coming out of college, and because now he's on one of my dynasty teams that I like the most. But I really do like Chase Edmonds, and I'm excited about him being the number two running back behind a guy entering his contract year.
One of the things I'm excited about, you talk about it all the time, Evan. You know that. We are trying to gather as much information as we can to make as informed decisions as we can. You know, nobody's perfect, but you're just trying to make the best decisions you can. Pro Football Focus, PFF Fantasy, uses their exclusive data on every play of every game to bring you the best fantasy stats and projections. Join PFF Edge for full access to PFF's rankings, fantasy draft tools, positional matchup charts, and of course, their award-winning website content. If you like a high stakes dude, like you are, Evan, step it up to PFF Elite. They got everything that they had in Edge I just told you about, plus the complete premium stats database, green line game picks, DFS optimizer. If you need that, PFF Fantasy leads you to victory with data-driven projections, expert rankings, and roster advice all year long. From draft night through the fantasy playoffs, the experts at PFF will give your team the inside advantage. Join PFF Fantasy today and prepare to win. Sign up now at profootballfocus.com. As a reminder, if you ever take advantage of any of our awesome sponsors over at rostucker.com, you can ask Evan any question you want because that's the, I mean, we do a lot of shows. Evan and I do, I think, 84 shows. I do 200 Ross Tucker football podcasts. The other shows are all, you know, once a week, so 52. But still, that's a lot of shows. And the only thing that really makes them go is the sponsors. So it helps us tremendously when you take advantage of the sponsors. So please do, and we reward you by, number one, you get a chance to be in the fantasy league against Evan and I in the draft. And number two, you get to ask Evan a question, so I think that's probably worth it. Speaking of that, let's get to a question. Hit it, Bri.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
Love that we've been doing this for, I don't know, 4 years, maybe 5 years, and we still have never just had the guy say, would you like to ask Evan a fantasy question? What does that cost, Bri? Like 20 bucks to do that, maybe 10 bucks? We don't have the budget, evidently, to do that. I love it. Take advantage of more of the sponsors so that we can have the guy say, ask Evan a fantasy question, because none of you are emailing this channel or this show to ask me a question. You want to get it from Evan, I think. So, all right, here's what we got, Evan. This is from Rick Botta. I can't wait to take Evan and you down in a best ball draft. Put me in, coach. I don't know if Rick's in the league or not. I don't know if you made it or not, Rick, but look, I keep all the emails that you guys send me. So if you send me a new one for the redraft league, and I see that you'd already sent me another one for, you know, one of the best ball leagues, then I keep track of that. So if you double down, you get a much better chance of going toe-to-toe against us in the redraft league. We will have 13, because James runs the league for us, but 13 dudes that we will be picking for that. Okay. He says, Evan, that he's been doing a lot of best ball this year, and he's found that when he doesn't get two running backs within the first three rounds, he's relying on top-end wide receivers to carry him and picking a ton, like 7-8, late-round running backs. With all the running backs this year, what are your thoughts on this roster build? So basically he gets one running back, it sounds like, in the first three rounds, gets a bunch of receivers, and then just gets like 7-8 late round running backs, you know, for best ball.
Yeah, I think he knows exactly what he's doing. You know, I think that that's – it sounds like he's a veteran player, and he's just kind of like, you know, asking us this question because he is just kind of trying to confirm that what he's doing is right. And, yes, I would say that that's correct. I, you know, the way that I play best ball is I hammer the RBs early, and I, every time that I build a team that doesn't have at least three running backs in the first four rounds, I end up not liking that team. And I mean, I've tried, look, trust me, I have tried to build teams where, you know, I'll be drafting like on the end and I'll be, I don't know, you know, 1.11 or 1.12, and I'll take, I don't know, Julio Jones and DeAndre Hopkins, or Julio Jones and Odell Beckham in those positions. And those sound like good picks, but when your RB1, you know, you come back around and your RB1 is Darius Geis or Alex Collins. And I mean, look, I like both of those guys to certain extents, but man, you feel a lot less confident about that team. The team ends up, you know, relying on those guys as the RB1 and the RB2. Someone's like, I don't know, Tevin Coleman is the RB3. You know, looking later at like some of the rookies that are a little bit more dicey, Royce Freeman, Ronald Jones. You know, I am big on hammering the running backs early, making sure that you get that touch upside on your team, that touch and touchdown upside on your roster, and then building the wide receiver position later with guys like Randall Cobb, with guys like Rishard Matthews, with, you know, Jordy Nelson, who I think is an interesting value right now, Kenny Stills, you know, trying to create an 8 wide receiver stable, as opposed to hitting those stud wide receivers early and then trying to build a running back stable of a bunch of guys who do not even have assured roles.
Love it. I love the email questions. Please keep them coming. You know, with us doing 2 episodes until, you know, the playoffs, we're going to have more and more time to get to some of your email questions. So take advantage of any of the sponsors over at RossTucker.com, like Pro Football Focus, like Mint Mobile, like Squad QL, all of them. And then hit us up, Ross@RossTucker.com. Other than that, another meaty episode. We've been dominating the double days so far. I love it. Next week, we've got a big-time guest again. We're rolling with the guests, and we're going to start the Tears of Evan. The countdown is on. Get the song ready. Get excited. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at RossTucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.